So today I'm catching up with a past apprentice from 2018, 2019, quite a few years ago, and it is Connor Morgans. Hiya, Connor.
Hiya, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for reminding me how long ago it was.
Sorry.
I know it's scary, and I thank you for reminding me. It's scary, though, isn't it? I can't believe it.
I was just trying to work it out on my fingers. 2018, 2019, 2021, 2022. We're looking at a good 4 years ago since the last time we saw each other, haven't we?
I think you're spot on. Yeah. And it's crazy because yesterday, who was I speaking to? I was messaging Holly from the apprenticeship as well.
Yeah.
Because she just moved up, got a new job in Salford, which is amazing. So I was messaging her about that. But it's crazy. I'm still talking to Jesse and Joe and all these people from, as you met, you say like four years ago. And I just think, oh, you know, it's nice to still touch bases with it, even though it seems like a distant memory now.
I bet it does, because I didn't want to touch on COVID at all. But because we've had blinking COVID, that's like taken about 5 years away from people.
Honestly, it has. And I think it's nice to remember that a little bit, though, because I'm like, oh, God, like, you know, I've done so much recently, but I'm like, oh, but what about before? What about this? And what about that? But it's like, oh, we had 2 years, a year especially, where, you know, we weren't doing an awful lot. But God, yeah, I remember I was working, I think at that time when COVID happened, I was working a lot for BBC News and the Radio Worlds programming. And I remember having to get up at like crazy hours in the morning for the breakfast show. And I remember having a piece of paper that would say I'm allowed to be out of the house. And I just think, oh my God, I remember that recently. I had a piece of paper. I had to like print it, carry it in the car. I never got pulled over asks. I must look not suspicious. But yeah, I just thought, God, what a time that was. Like,
I know. Luckily, you did your apprenticeship with BBC Radio Wales in between 2018, 2019. And I got to say, Connor, you got to do your apprenticeship in the iconic BH in Llandaff in Cardiff, didn't you?
Yeah. God, yeah. That is, again, a distant memory, a throwback. God, yeah, we've gone into greater and better things. But yeah, Llandaff was a building like that was showing its age, but was iconic.
I know. It's iconic, though, because I live not far from the building. Yeah. And, well, it's no building no more, is it? I'm thinking it's houses upon houses upon apartments.
Breaks my heart,
you know?
Seeing that. It's so weird driving past and seeing, well, when I was driving past, just rubble. It broke my heart. I was like, oh, my God, that's so weird.
I know. It is. It's there's going to be a lot of houses on that site as well, you know?
Yeah.
Tell me where you were before your apprenticeship. And in a way, I wanted to know why radio, because it's a specific, isn't it?
Yeah. No, absolutely. God, so taking me back even further, we're just amazing. I love this. No, it's a great question. So before my apprenticeship, I was, I came just from sixth form. So I did it when I was 18 and I was at the crossroads. Should I do university? Applied for this apprenticeship and I was, you know, hedging my bets, fingers crossed, you know, they get back to me. But at that time, I was volunteering for Radio Cardiff. I was doing shows and producing it and just honestly, in a good way, being a nuisance where possible, because I was just like, I love this and I want to do as much as possible. And then I joined my local hospital radio, both of which I still touch bases with today and still do stuff for, which is, for me,
fantastic.
So lovely to like, you know, have those experiences and the experiences that I'd never, you know, wish that I never had. They're just such valuable experiences for me. So that's where I, you know, cut my teeth and discovered my love for it. You know, I love radio. This is exactly what I want to do. And it's funny, but you mentioned before, like, Connor, you like your music. Absolutely. I love my music because that's exactly what I got into radio for in the first place. I remember like loving music, and I wanted to like be a DJ, and I just love dance music and love this kind of music, all of it. I thought, but what's like a job, like a full-time job, a proper job that my mum would go, oh yeah, that's a job. Do you know what I mean? It's not like becoming this slim chance of an international superstar DJ. Like, what's a proper job? Do you know what I mean? and so I thought, what about radio? I was listening to Radio One and Greg James. I always remember like my first proper like memory of radio and me going, oh, this is it. This is what I want to do. It's like Greg James doing Drive Time. I'm playing like Foster the People for his like track of the week. And that single, I still play to this day, still listen to Greg James to this day. And like, I just like, for me, that was a moment when I was like 13, 14. I went, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is like a proper formal job where like it's been going around for years and like it's respected. I always wanted to do it. So that for me was like the genesis of my career. And I did what I could and where I could do it as much as possible in school. As I say, Radio Cardiff, the hospital radio. I thought, right, I want to do this apprenticeship. Let's do it. Applied. Okay. Finally, was so fortunate to get onto it because I literally think I was a couple of weeks before starting at Swansea University. I was going to media and I was literally ready to go. It was to the point where they were like, you got to go secure your accommodation, you know, where I was going to stay. And I was holding out and I was getting emails like, you've got to do this because otherwise you won't be staying anywhere. And I was just holding out. So I wanted to hear back about the apprenticeship. And thankfully they said, yeah, you've got it. And I was over the moon. So I joined when I was 18. And it's just been hopefully an upward trajectory since then. And I've really, really enjoyed it. So that's the kind of preamble before getting onto the apprenticeship, which was amazing. Really, really amazing. I'm so thankful for it.
So you had to let Swansea University down then?
I did. I did, absolutely. And I didn't regret it. I did not regret it because, I mean, no, I didn't because...
That's great
to know. I just knew I wanted to do radio. And for me, when I finished the apprenticeship and when I was doing the apprenticeship, I was like, for me, this is what I wanted to do. And I'm doing it right now. For me, it's been an extra 3 years before I would have done what I'm doing at this very moment. I mean, not to say that, you know, having to go on to university and had the uni experience, as it were, and doing student radio, there were still ways that I could, you know, indulge that kind of, you know, love. And I did media for that exact reason, because I knew I wanted to do radio. So I was like, this just makes sense to me. Like, you know, let's just jump the gun in a way. Let's skip 3 years and let's just get straight stuck into it. And you know, working for Radio Wales, like, still to this day, you know, keep in touch. I do, you know, not as much of Radio Wales nowadays, but still in touch with everyone that, you know, was a part of my like team, as it were, back then. So still valuable contacts that, you know, I had for the apprenticeship, and I would have just been scouring for post university. So yeah, I don't regret it as much as like maybe there was at that time like, oh, but should I just go uni? All my friends are going, some are going to Swansea, my sister was going to Swansea at that time. Should I just go? Do you know what I mean? But no, I'm so glad to do it.
The thing is, I'm sure you've had time in your career as well, after your apprenticeship, you might have thought to yourself, oh, this time, if I had been in uni, I'd be at the end of my second year now, or I'd be in the middle of my third. And you probably thought about all the experience that you'd had within that year and a half, 2 years, all that wealth of knowledge, stuff you've learned. Do you know what I mean? Actually doing the job, not learning about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like for me, like when I was looking at university, I was looking at a bunch of different universities across the UK, and I was like specifically looking for like radio courses, but I ended up just deciding I'd rather stay closer to home. But you know, no fault of Swansea Uni, like I said, they got a great unit of student radio there, and but like it wasn't specifically radio, so I would be learning a lot about as you say, like kind of like media law, for example, how media's changed over the years, etc., which is all, I'm sure, like incredibly valuable for a certain type of person. But for me, it was like maybe naively of me, but I just wanted to do radio, and I knew that's what I wanted to do. So I was like, you know, let's just concentrate on that. And the apprenticeship was Radio Wales, and you know, worked with yourself and everyone there at Skillet Cymru that really just concentrated on that. Like what I liked with the apprenticeship as well is that you could like pick out specific like courses to do, like specific pieces of work to do.
Units.
Yeah, exactly. And they were curated to like audio and radio. Yeah. And that for me was brilliant, because I was like, this is exactly what I wanted to do. If I went to university, I would have had to do a lot of the other stuff that would have just not engaged me as much as radio, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
for a learner as well, it was so much more beneficial.
I get you, because I tell you what, with the qualification, I don't talk about the qualification much when we're doing podcasts, but with the qualification, the level three that obviously runs within your job for that year, the radio units are fantastic. So having worked in Radio Cymru myself for 3 years, I was really excited about them as well, because they are actually stuff that you're doing, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I remember screenshotting a lot of what I was doing, like putting to these units, because it was all relevant stuff that I was literally doing then and there. So it was just totally relevant. It made so much sense. So yeah, I'm so thankful that you know, we could curate it even more specifically to what my interests were. So yeah, so, so thankful.
Tell me a little bit about your role. So when you started in BH, I'm presuming you did September to September, probably, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you weren't the only apprentice, were you? You had Jesse with you as well, didn't you?
That's right. So it was me and Jesse doing the radio apprenticeship for the BBC, and we both did it for Radio Wales, both only English language speakers, and that was honestly so thankful. I know other people might not have had that that same opportunity to have that other person doing the same thing as what you're doing. Like I know Dale and it was Troy and Joe who were in sports.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was so beneficial. I still speak to Jesse most days.
Fantastic.
Like even now, because like I just it because we have done such a similar background. Like things we do now and jobs and offers we get here and there, and we're like discussing it with one another. And I love that. Like it was never like a sense of competition or a sense of, oh, but he's doing this or I'm doing this, I'd rather do that. It was so mutually beneficial for both of us. And yeah, so it was me and Jesse doing the apprenticeship, and we were working the same roles, but across different programs. And
okay.
For me, I loved that. Like I started off in the phone in.
Brilliant.
With Jason back in this old time, and Dart back when it was like in the early mornings. I remember it was my first experience of getting up at like, what was it, like 5:30 or something. I'm used to it now, but back then I was like, geez, I'm having to get up so early, get into Llandaff, and it was just dark and gloomy. I hated it.
Oh,
but now,
no.
now I don't mind it. I quite like it, if anything. But yeah, so like we started off on the phone, and I believe Jesse did Wynn's program, which was afterwards, and we ended up like switching and ended up doing like afternoons, etc., etc. And it was so good to like speak to Jesse and go, how are you finding this program, what are you doing? But also, like even to this day, I remember it was like last week, and I was at in London, you know, broadcasting house in London, working for One Extra, and my Proteus wasn't working. I messaged Jesse, is it working for you? And he said, yeah, it's working. I ended up, it worked for me eventually, but like I still touch bases with him, because I know he knows exactly what I'm going through, what he's going through. It was honestly just loved having Jesse there. And yeah, really, really valuable friend. I'm so thankful that, you know, we had the opportunity to go through such similar experiences for that year and a half. And yeah, brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, because in a way, it's like, you know, you go to junior school, high school, then, you know, the used to be the usual was uni. He's like a sort of mate that you would have made at uni, but you've made it junior apprenticeship, you know? So it's just that stage of life and age, isn't it?
No, absolutely. And yeah, like even to this day, like it's so lovely seeing everyone, you know, doing such amazing things. But yeah, absolutely. Mm. It was, as you say, would love to have gone to uni, honestly, mostly for that uni experience. Do you know what I mean? Living out at home and going and meeting so many new people. Because I honestly thrive off meeting new people. I'm so curious about people's like you know, interests and what they do. So for me, honestly, that was a big thing. I was like, oh god, but I'm not going to be able to you know, meet loads of new people, and everyone's going to be doing different things in the apprenticeship, and I don't know how I'm going to work with that. But total opposite. I mean, our group was just a bundle of laughs, and everyone was such a character, and I, you know, I'm so thankful to call them friends and have had the opportunity to work with them. Especially in our BBC like group, obviously we had other people doing ITV and Boom Cymru, etc. But we had, you know, our little BBC group, and it was so cool to share experiences with them as well, and just be a big group of like, you know, like-minded people. Honestly, so thankful for it. I loved it. Yeah, friends this day.
Yeah, that's great. See, you know, when you were at BH doing your apprenticeship, was there any sort of job that you got to do that you thought, no, maybe this isn't for me? You know, techie stuff or anything?
Good question. And I mean, yeah, absolutely. So like back in BH, like a lot of the work we were doing was researcher and content assistant, or BA as they called it back then. So, you know, the with radio, there was like only a few roles really that you can get stuck into on the program front of things. Like you got your producer, your potentially APs. They don't do a lot of APs at Radio Wales. It's just like a structuring thing. But you know, a lot of researchers and content assistants, which do a lot more of the admin and music reporting, etc. But yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because we first started doing researching for, as I say, for the phone-in. And for me, that was totally out of my comfort zone. I was like having to reach out to people, phone people, call people, get them on the program and produce scripts and briefs for Jason and Dot. And for me, I was like, whoa, this is like fast-paced, intense. I'm like totally out of my comfort zone right now. But so honestly, at first, I really disliked doing that. But I'm so thankful that I did it, because now I'm just so much more comfortable in, like, you know, speaking on the phone to contributors and callers, turn them around for on air and really picking out and asking questions specifically that relates to the program and how I can then twist that around then for the presenter for on air. But it is intense. I mean, you've got, like, you know, the producer going, oh, can we get the person on line three? Would they be up for going on air? And you're like, oh my God, like, balance all this. It's crazy. It's intense, but it's fun. And it's, you know, exactly what I was, you know, wanting to do, like get out of my comfort zone and really learn what the job is. I mean, as you say, it would have been great going to uni and saying, oh, you know, you'll have to use phone box and you'd have to turn guests around and writing down what questions you might ask, et cetera, et cetera. But just doing it and being in it, like, you know, it is the best preparation.
Definitely.
So yeah, as you said, I really disliked that at first. It was intense, but I mean, now totally capable of doing it and I'm totally happy to do it. So yeah, you know, that was funny that I was like, oh my God, that's how I was speaking to Jesse, like, oh, I kind of want to go into wins. It seems a lot more like more entertainment driven and less like newsy, as I was just so out of touch with the news and stuff. But you know, it was so good, like bringing my like ideas to the table every morning about how about we do this and how about we do that, and you know, it was a different angle, which I think nowadays I've really come to appreciate. Like, I remember, take it down a tangent now, but I remember an interview recently and they were like, one of the questions they asked were, is or are disagreements good in the workplace and why? And I was like, I can imagine the answer is probably no, like really, but I decided yes, because I feel like if I'm coming to the table like with one specific question or for wins program, I've got an idea for a throw, like I think we should talk about this and do it in this way, and then one of the producers or one of the other researchers suggests a different idea, I think it's all for the greater good. You know, we're all contributing to the program, and so many times I'd contribute something and you know, they'd go, oh, how about we do this, or how about we talk about that, and then I've sat back and gone, do you know what, that's I didn't even think about that, so I'm so thankful that you suggested that and we ended up going with that idea, which all was just a collective contribution. It wasn't like one solo idea, one solo angle, and we just went with it. It was always a case of how about this, how about that. I was just so, you know, thankful to have these kind of like not disagreements, but like, you know, collaboratively working with people to come up with the best idea for a program, because that's what it all is. It's everyone chipping in for content and doing the best thing possible. And you know, for me, it was Radio Wales is a target audience that isn't me. You know, it's an older generation, it's an older population. But that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. I can suggest, you know, things that I've seen on my socials or things that I've seen on different websites that people might not visit in my team. And it's just all a different angle. And, you know, it's for me, there wasn't a bad thing. There wasn't a negative that I wasn't entirely, you know, in tune with our audience, but rather a good thing that I could suggest, you know, different and innovative ideas, which was really beneficial. So, yeah, but, you know, a lot of imposter syndrome, a lot of like discomfort going in, but really really thriving towards the end of it.
I think that's what having apprentices at Radio Wales has done, is brought in a different, definitely different age group, you know, which, as you said, possibly isn't the age group that would be listening to Radio Wales, but by bringing in younger people working on it, it was opening the floor up a bit more to the listeners, if that makes sense.
100% And you know, and I feel like especially nowadays Radio Wales has really taken such an interesting like change. I mean, Carolyn's the new editor now, and she's done some really exciting changes with breakfast and flipping the shows between Win and the phone-in. So they're at different times now. And, you know, that's the thing about radio. I feel like there is constant change in a good way. There's always change. And it's really exciting for me that works in radio. Like, in terms of, like, you know, back when radio first started, like social media and like a social media producer just wasn't a thing, you know. And nowadays it's totally ingrained, like digital media and the linear radio are just one of the same nowadays. Like, nowhere you, like when I do stuff for Radio One, nowhere are you doing a piece of content for radio and not thinking, but how can we, you know, turn this into a video, or how can we engage an audience across social?
Yeah,
it's so exciting for that. Like, it, you know, radio, I feel like it's so good for so many different roles and so many different expertise that it's just, oh, I love it. Like, I'm honestly so thankful to call it my day-to-day job.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you mentioned Radio One, we talked about KISS before. What happened to you after your apprenticeship? You know, were you left in limbo with no work, or were you offered work from Radio Wales? Or where did you go, Connor, after your apprenticeship finished?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was incredibly fortunate where I, you know, it almost felt like just another day, another week when I finished my apprenticeship. It was like, right, your apprenticeship finishes today. You know, Monday, you're in doing the exact same thing you were doing before. I just happened to get paid the fee instead, which is great. So it was literally, it was because, like, with the apprenticeship, you spend the year there, you know, and of course you have the opportunity to dot around and get other contacts and experiences elsewhere. But, you know, for the most part, you are, you know, in that department and meeting people and making really valuable connections that you almost become a piece of the puzzle that they can't really get rid of, if that makes sense. So it's just kind of like, right, you know, next week we'll just get you in. As you were, just carry on. So straight back into Radio Wales work and doing research.
Employed as what? As a researcher or a BA or a...
Yeah, no, so I was freelancing as a researcher and a BA, jumping between the two different roles and different programs. And, you know, it was just a normal day. And me and Jesse were there just as were, you know, it was really, really great. So straight into the freelance world, but it was never a daunting kind of like, oh my, how am I, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get work from? It was just straight back into it. And I was so thankful to have that comfort blanket, as it were, that I'm used to then start kind of like looking across the other different radio stations, you know, branching out my expertise and my opportunities. And that all came from that comfort blanket. And I'm ever so thankful for it.
So yeah, how did you go about that? Were the jobs advertised within the BBC, or did you get your CVs out? How got to work for all these companies, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so as you say, so you know, off the back of that apprenticeship, I 90% of my work was still coming from Radio Wales and the BBC in Cardiff, which was great. And you know, to this day I still touch bases and do the odd thing with them, which is again such a solid piece of my experience. And you know, I still love everyone that works there. But yeah, so for me then it was like, right, but you know, how can I continue to like move forward and progress and you know, work up to assistant producer and produce here and there, and what can I do and how can I go about that? So a lot of the work was just kind of me either jumping on LinkedIn or from people that I've met and just dropping emails and picking people's brains, grabbing a lot of coffees with people. And, you know, it all came from there. Like all my experiences and the work that I've had in the freelance world has been honestly from like no one specific way, if that makes sense. Like there hasn't been like one master technique to securing all this work. It was kind of like, I remember doing work for, at the time, Network Radio in Cardiff. So not Radio Wales, but the content that they produce for Radio 3, Radio 4, the World Service. I mean, now it's become like BBC Audio and they do a lot more work, which is brilliant. But it was called Network Radio back then. I remember I went for a job. Unfortunately, I didn't get the job, but, you know, I kept in touch with the person that had interviewed me. And yeah, they offered me a great couple of months of work and I got to do stuff for Radio 3, Radio 4, work across World Service programming. And and that was again really, really valuable because it was like something again totally out of my comfort zone. For me, it's new music. I love new music. Yeah. I love dance music. I love all of this. For me that was like, whoa. I even prefaced it saying like I'm not entirely across like classical music and you know doing the music reporting for a classical music program is completely different, you know, in terms of like structure, like you use different techniques and stuff, but it was totally fine. I learned it, I got used to it, and it didn't really matter that I didn't know what an opus was or an adagio and all this, and you know, it was totally fine. But my, you know, experience from Radio Wales and learning how to use the systems was totally transferable. We landed, you know, straight on our feet, and the ball was rolling. And then, so we did great stuff with them, did stuff with Nation, which was just, what's the word I would use? Like, politely pestering. Hi, can I come down and help out? How can I come down and help out?
And,
you know, that was great. So I did a lot of work with them and, you know, working up to producer and working with, you know, like the breakfast program and the drive time program. And that was, again, like a massive bulk of my work at that time in my career. And it was so, so great. But yeah, like the majority of my work now comes either between Radio Wales and other like, you know, freelance music opportunities that I'm, you know, starting to bed myself into a lot more. But also Radio One and One Extra.
Tell me about that. That sounds exciting.
It really, really is.
You know, your age, isn't it?
Yeah, it is so exciting. So that, as you say, that was actually, that started off as a job that went out. They were looking for freelance assistant producers. So that was again a completely different way of me finding work, but they put the job up online on the BBC careers page. I applied for it, and honestly I didn't think anything of it. I had a meeting. It wasn't an interview, it was a meeting with the one of the production coordinators and editors, and it was so laid back. Super duper laid back. I had a chat with them, and I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was like a preamble to an interview, if that makes sense. It was so laid back. It was like, just getting to know me. What have you done? What are you doing? So I've done this, that, and the other. And then they were like, oh, well, you know, if you could work across any program, what would you love to work across? And I thought, well, do you know what? I'd love to work across Future Sounds with Clara Amfo. And they were like, okay, cool. No worries. And, you know, I said I can, you know, edit social content on like Adobe Audition and Photoshop, etc. And they were like, okay, cool. Went away, and then like a couple of days later they'd like, oh, would you be up for coming in to shadow the content assistant producer for Clara's show? I was like, oh my god. Yeah, let's do it. So and I honestly didn't nothing of it. We went up, shadowed, and I ended up doing that shift then for a good few months, and it was amazing, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. But you know, in tune to what I said earlier, like, you know, social media now and digital media is just, it is just so part of radio now. There's no like separation between the two, and I think that's so exciting. Like I've always, you know, dabbled in graphics and Photoshop and Premiere Pro and videos and stuff, and I've always dabbled in it but never done it professionally. So I was like, oh my god, like I've said this now and I'm a bit new, but I've never done it professionally. But you know, they said, cool, you could do it, and I went up and straight into it. I was bedded, you know, and I had these experience that I just done for my own personal time, and you know, and I was doing it for Radio One, and ended up, you know, getting the stuff that I edited and produced on, you know, Radio One's Twitter and Instagram and all that, and it was just crazy. And so that was an amazing job, but it's a job that honestly I'd, you know, would love to do like full time from now. Like for me it was always like, I'd love to do presenting, I'd love to do this, I'd love to do that, and but I was like, I got this role, and I'm like, I want to do more of this. I love Radio One and One Extra, and I love creating social content. And you know, it was working across the specialist music team for social content, like Chiller Show, and there's no introducing on Radio One Dance, and the dance party with Danny Howard, for example. Producing social content from them, and then in the afternoon, 6 o'clock, head into studio and work towards the live program. So it was a real awesome job where you're balancing social content and radio producing. So I was like, wow, I want to do more of this.
I was going to ask, working with Radio One Extra, did you have to move up to London?
Yeah, so thankfully I'm like, you know, I'm balancing work here in Cardiff with like, you know, loads of great organizations in the music industry and radio here in the BBC, and now and again dying up to London for work at BH in London. So you know, it for me right now is like not exactly the most financially lucrative, amazing thing right now, but I know you know, this experience is worth its weight in gold. And
yeah,
getting to crash with my friend in London. And I mean, it's getting to the point now. I mean, I'm not there for a couple of weeks now, and I'm sure he's thankful for that. but like, yeah, I honestly own the world to him, because I go up, I crash at his place, I go into work for the week or whatever, going for a few days. And yeah, it you know, it's a lot, and it's, you know, getting the train up and sometimes just for the day to come up and back. But
yeah,
don't regret it in the slightest, because I know this experience is, you know, it's exactly what I want to do. So to get that experience on my CV, you know, it's just so invaluable. And, you know, for me, it's like, I love doing what I'm doing up there, yeah, and I'm loving all the work I do back here. You know, I'm trying to balance the two. So, you know, maybe at a crossroads right now. Do I, do I, you know, retry London again? Do I not? Do I stay here and really bed myself into the Welsh music industry, which is where I'm finding so much my like passion and love right now, being in that music industry as opposed to that radio industry, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It sounds like the traveling is working for you, though. I mean, what I'm trying to ask is, do you think you need to be in London, or can you work it the way that you're working it now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I always said that the train, if you get the right time, is honestly just under 2 hours.
Yeah.
Just under 2 hours. And it is not troublesome at all. I drive into Cardiff, leave my car in the car park at the BBC in Cardiff, get the train to London, work at the day, for example, or obviously stay up there for the week if needs be, whatever's needed, and then just come back on the train. And, you know, the trains aren't cheap, but I've got a rail card, which I probably used. I probably got my £30 back in like a week. But like, yeah, so it's doable, 100% doable. I'm so used to it now. Like, I just switch off now. I get to London, get to Paddington, I just zone out there, and I get myself to Oxford Circus or Radio 1 and stuff. And it's just, it is doable. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And, you know, right now I'm really thankful to be able to do that and make it work and have a friend that is so accommodating for me.
Right now, last week, this week, what are you working on at the moment?
Yeah, God, good question. So right now, so last week, the week before that, I was in London. I was APing across ACES program on One Extra, which was incredibly exciting. I'm just finalizing my podcast with the Forte Project, which I had the amazing opportunity to produce and present that. And that will be coming out soon. Interviewing all the cohort for the Forte Project, who, you know, if people don't know, the Forte Project is...
tell us about that.
Yeah, it's Beacons Cymru. It's one of their like subdivisions, as it were. And it's a lot like Horizons. They give a, you know, great sub of money to a variety of artists. And I had the opportunity to interview each of them and find out where the future lies for them and how they're hoping to use the funding, etc. So really insightful opportunity to speak to a bunch of different great people in the music industry here in Wales and really pick their brains. So I'm very much looking forward to that coming out. But yeah, next week we're in BBC Radio Wales for the next 2 weeks, which is incredibly exciting. And then back and forth London for a couple of weeks after that for AP across One and One Extra. So it's varied. It's really varied. It's exciting.
So how do you manage? I know a lot of people find being freelance a bit, it freaks them out a bit because they don't know where they are from one week to the other. I was freelance for a long time with a child, with a daughter. But, you know, as long as you're in control about where you're going the next couple of weeks and you're keeping your money sorted and you're invoicing, how do you find all that, Connor? Have you mastered that?
I've definitely got used to it. before, it used to scare me if I didn't have like a full month there set like right in front of me and I could see on my calendar, it's okay, I've got this month to bed into. But it's like, for me, if I've ever got any downtime or I'm not working a day, for example, it's rather a case of me to like, how can I maximize my time to get in touch with other people or suggest doing this and suggest doing that, and you know, working across other projects that I've got going on, which has been so valuable. Like, invoicing is fine now. I've mastered that. I've got a nice little template. It takes 2 seconds. We're okay with that. That's, you know, but again, doing the apprenticeship, we learned how to do invoicing and stuff. And back then I was like, what's the point of that? You know, why do I need to learn this? Not at all. It was so valuable. And but yeah, I mean, again, that's the thing that I feel like you've got to learn. Once you've learned it, you're flying. You're flying. But yeah, I mean, it's not
Yeah.
easy. I mean, it is daunting at times. And a lot of times I'm like, oh my God, I'm just going to have to, you know, sack it up and just get a job elsewhere, or just, you know, do this or do that. But, you know, I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now. And as I say, the things that I'm doing, I'm so thankful to be doing. And, you know, I'm in a position where a lot of people would love to be. You know, I'm sure, you know, there's countless people that have messaged me before going, oh, I'd love to do stuff for Radio One, or I'd love to do stuff for this, and I'd love to do stuff for that. And what you're doing is amazing. And, you know, I just feel like it can be daunting. It is daunting, but it's fine. You know, I'm enjoying what I'm
Yeah.
doing, and it will fall into place. You know, a few months ago, I thought the world was going to end, and, you know, I was having a real troublesome time, but it finds its way every time. It finds its way. So it's daunting, but it's having a little bit of faith. I think that's the most important thing. Absolutely.
Definitely. And in a way, Connor, you could be in a contract 6 months, a year. I'm not being funny, but you could be working on the same program day in, day out.
Yeah.
And it gets monotonous, it
Of
gets
course.
boring.
Of course. Absolutely. You know, you're spot on.
Secure, but boring.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. And yeah, I think freelance is for me right now, it's great because it allows me to kind of like pick away at other itches that I have on my back. And like right
Yeah.
now, I've been so thankful to really bed myself into the Welsh music industry and do more and more for that. You know, like working with Anthem, who have been beyond amazing, like and
Who,
working
yeah,
with
who are Anthem?
Horizons and all these opportunities that I can like really pick away at that. If I was contracted, and you know, I wouldn't have that freedom to experiment and pick these other
No.
riches. I can really, you know, shoot off all my desires and urges all at once. You know what I mean? And I'd have that freedom to do it.
Yeah, you mentioned Anthem then. Are they a company or is that a project or?
Yeah, absolutely. So Anthem Cymru is an organization that is all about supporting, up and coming artists and young people in the music industry. So a real great kind of like group of people that are all about supporting young people wanting to get into the industry and you know, making a valuable stamp on that industry. So yeah, they've been beyond amazing in terms of my like progression and opportunities that they've given me. I started off on their youth forum. It was a
Right.
year long, like I think it was like every fortnight they'd have a meeting with I think like 10 young people, and we'd all contribute to like some of the projects they've got coming up and suggest ideas. And that's how it all started. And again, met so many great like-minded young people that, you know, want to make a career in the Welsh music industry, but not necessarily just people that want to sing or produce or, you know, be at the forefront, but, you know, like promoters and instrumentalists and
Yeah.
everything in between. And it was so cool to meet these people, learn about these people, and start to work with these organizations. Like, you know, did a podcast for Anthem recently, and you know, hosted events for them, which was my first experience ever hosting an event. And I was like, do you know what, I like this, I quite like
Yeah.
doing this. And got a real buzz for it. And you know, done it for Beacons and done stuff for other organizations. And I'm like, do you know what, that's really cool. And that's the thing about freelancing and having that
Yeah.
freedom is you actually learn about other things. Like, it doesn't just have to be radio producing, which is for me still my bread and butter, my absolute desire. But I gotta do like event hosting and putting on gigs and do podcasts and stuff. So yeah, no, the Welsh music industry is something that I hold dear to my heart now. And ever since coming back from London, I had kind of like a resurgence in a way where I'm like,
Yeah.
oh, do you know what, I love Wales, I love the music industry, I want to be part of it even more. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm just so ingrained in it now and I love it. And it's allowed me, like, during the down days when I don't have work, it's allowed me to put on my very first gig night, which is happening I think next weekend, which is
How
crazy.
fantastic.
So yeah, I mean, I've, you know, done playlists and done like stuff, and like my radio show on Radio Cardiff, it's all about Welsh music. And all of this is like, do you know what, I just want to like engage in the music industry even more. And I thought, why not put a gig night on? I thought it'd be easy. It wasn't easy. People drop out and you're having to do this
Oh
and do that, and
God.
it was crazy, but I think it's bettered itself. And yeah, so very much looking forward to that.
Where's that happening?
Yeah, so it's happening at the Moon in Cardiff.
I know. On Woman Be Straight, is it?
You've got it. Exactly. And yes, it's happened on the 9th of Saturday. And we've got Jemez, Half Happy, and Liam J. Edwards performing, who are, I mean, I'm absolutely outstanding with myself because it's such a great lineup. And I'm honestly, I love them all personally. Like, I've had such great like opportunities to meet them all before. So I'm like, do you know what? This will be a really good gig night. So yeah, a lot of variety of genre, and yeah, it'll be a great night. So again, like as you say about freelancing, there are days where it's a down day and you've not got any work, and it can be seen, can be quite daunting, but it allows you to, you know, flip it on its head and have a day to look at other projects and look at other opportunities. So not always a bad thing.
Oh, fantastic. Well, good luck with that
Thank you
anyway.
very much.
Lastly, I just wanted to ask you, because I know when I met you that you were, I'm sure I'm right, you were already presenting in radio when you started your apprenticeship. And obviously you're still presenting now.
Yes.
So that love has never gone away, is it?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's great that you've been able to sustain that as well with work.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're spot on. I mean, yeah, so my first ever like presenting thing was Radio Cardiff and doing like a youth show back. God, I think I got it when I was on the apprenticeship, and that was the local radio station, the local community radio station in Cardiff. And yeah, so I mean, I still do a weekly show for them now, and I've, you know, it's
Brilliant.
gone through many iterations, but now it's a absolute passion project of mine. It's like just entirely dedicated to new Welsh music, and you know, it's allowed me to meet people, connect with people, and like people would will it'll eat like drop me a DM on Twitter and go, oh, I'd love for you to play my song on the show. And it's an absolute passion project, and you know, it's something that I could just give back to the industry, as it were. And so yeah, you know, that was my first ever presenting gig. And back then, Lisa, honestly, I was like, oh, I want to be the next Greg James. You know, he got me into radio. It's exactly what I want to do. You know, and that again, that's ebbed and flowed ever since then. But it's become now like a real great kind of like arrow in my like quiver to like, you know, have extra or additional opportunities. And you know, like with Anthem, like we're looking for someone to present or a host this gig night, or we're looking for someone to, you know, present at our award ceremony, who would be up for it? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm more than comfortable to do that. Absolutely, I'd love to do it. If you can't tell, I love a yap. So, you know, it's definitely something that works in my favor. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that I've, you know, been thankful to do across the years and win awards for, which is beyond crazy. Like last year, I tried to like send all my like demos to like all these awards, and like, you know, I won a few, which is beyond crazy. And
Fantastic.
it was just kind of nice, like reassurance that you're not awful, you know, it's okay, you can win something, so you know, you're clearly not too bad.
Give the show a plug. When is it on Cardiff Radio?
Yeah, it's on every Saturday and Sunday between from 7 a.m. So it's the weekend breakfast program. It's called Wake Up to the
Brilliant.
Weekend. It's great. And yeah, I just yap about Welsh music. We play, you know, I dive through my inbox every week and pick out my favorite songs, and yeah, just chat about it and get some good guests on to yap about their new songs. So if you're a fan of Welsh music, you can listen to my show in the morning and then Adam Walton's show in the evening. So perfect weekend for
Brilliant.
Welsh music.
Do you have to go into Radio Cardiff to do the show, or can you do it from the comfort of your own home?
Well, this is it. This is one of the benefits of I say one of the benefits of COVID. I mean, there was very few, but one of the benefits was, of course, you know, broadcasting from the house and pre-recording the program, of which I still do now. Having that flexibility to just pre-record my show, do it all in my bedroom, open up
Fabulous.
Audition, check the songs in, check my voice clips in. Job's a good one. So yeah, having that to do from home is just brilliant, because yeah, every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m. means I'd never get to have a night out. And
No,
I don't
exactly.
know how that would go with working all the time, but yeah, so having that
Oh,
flexibility is brilliant. But yeah,
well, listen, good luck with the gig night next week.
thank you very much. Thank you, I'm very excited for it.
May there be many more gig nights to come.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, it took a lot out of me, this one, so hopefully I can come back with renewed vigor. But yeah, it'll be brilliant.